Hello, I'm Christopher Lopez, and this is the StarCraft Observer, the show centered around the real-time strategy game StarCraft and its real stories from the community. We talk to artists, streamers, players, creators about their first encounter with the game and how it's changed their lives. On days where I find myself having extra time to do things, which is almost never, I'll usually spend it editing these episodes, and occasionally I'll have a stream open on the side, on mute, and just watching whoever is streaming StarCraft. I always find this to be the best combination for me because there's something about watching someone playing StarCraft, very motivational, which feeds into my editing process. So as I'm working, I can't help but notice this one particular username, who to me seems to be absolutely everywhere and is always engaging with the chat, the streamer, or being very informative on Twitter as to what's going on in the world of StarCraft. In fact, it's so informative to the point where I'm always looking forward to one of his tweets every morning because it always pertains to the constant ongoings of the StarCraft scene. And my breaking point with this particular person was when I was watching one of my favorite streamers, Lex Grizzly, on my lunch break. Every Thursday, Lex does what she calls Party Like an Archon, in which she co-streams with someone else named Acium. And on this particular day, they were playing Stardew Valley. Everything seemed pretty normal at first. Both Lex and Acium introducing themselves, recapping their week, and then begin to create their new characters and start to play. It wasn't until they asked a few people from the stream if they would like to join their game, and out of nowhere, that same username that I keep seeing everywhere joins. That username? Borsti. That's Borsti spelled B-O-R-S-T-I. Unsurprisingly, when I googled that username Borsti, the first search result leads right to his Twitter account. Right away, I know this is the person I'm looking for because their banner image is what appears to be an angel with arms wide open, the wings spread wide with a crown of thorns upon its head. This angel is then looking up to the heavens, and shining down is the StarCraft II logo in beautiful bright blue, silver, and metallic hues. You can't help but get an epic and inspiring feeling from this. You also couldn't ask for a better picture that screams StarCraft is life. And this is true for Borsti because this person lives, breathes, and loves all things StarCraft. So in 2019 at BlizzCon, I got to speak to a few individuals who too have run into Borsti. The first person I ran into was Kevin Rotterdam Batterkiwi, or better known as Rotterdam.
I think Borsti is one of these incredibly passionate, lovely nerds that we have in our community. Incredibly active on Twitter, he will always be there. He is also someone who likes to call people out on their mistakes because he's so involved. But I think overall, just a very genuine, passionate soccer fan.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And then we ran into Jessica Chernega, a.k.a. Zombie Grub.
That is a very difficult question to answer. Borsti is an amazing, I would say he's a content producer for StarCraft. He gifts everything from everyone's stream. He watches it constantly. He makes everyone have a community by like himself. So he's a driving force for a lot of us having successful streams and Discords and the true passionate fan of StarCraft. So he's a really awesome dude.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And Amelia Savory, a former StarCraft esports writer who goes by Sunset.
Borsti has been in my Twitter life as long as I can remember, always as a positive and encouraging force. I can't remember when we first started interacting. It's like he's just always been there. And whenever I'm having a bad day or I tweet something where I'm like, oh, you know, just didn't have the greatest day, I can always count on him. He's always in my mentions saying, you can do this, Sunset. You know, you're so great. And it always just makes me feel so much better that there's someone there who's always cheering me on. And even though I don't know him personally, I feel like he's played a very important part in my Twitter life. That is for sure. And he always makes me feel good.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Today, we sit down with Borsti and get to know all about him, from where he grew up to when he first began to play video games, and then we discover when his love of StarCraft began and how it, along with the community, would save him. Borsti grew up in a small city in Germany with a population of about 10 to 15,000 people. He mentions that even though at times you were in a big crowd, you would still get the sense that everyone knew each other. It was a small harbor town with lots of vast countryside and lots of farms, In fact, it was so vast that the internet was brought to the region very late, just because of how far it was from bigger cities. Growing up in the small town in Germany wasn't too bad. Life seemed perfect.
At the end of the street is an area with a bunch of trees and a lot of grass, and just we would go there, like climb on the trees or play football or play, just play stuff like, or play fetch or catch or with a frisbee, anything really. And other times we would just go to our dad, who's been working at the harbor. And so we would just like walk around there, like just say hi for when he's having lunch. Like he's been working shifts and we just go there, say hi, to like drink a cup of water or something and then leave again to leave him alone. I still can't believe they were so cool with that at the company.
Wow, that's really cool. So you're just randomly dropping in on your dad and being like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. and even on stressful days, we would just, I guess we were actually like brighten the mood for everyone because they had to like deal with us and didn't need to put up with like some trucker from Poland who was missing some of his wares on his truck or something. Like we were basically comfort and a few minutes of relaxing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if I were in your dad's spot, I think I'd be like, you guys should do this more often. Because, you know, being on that side of the spectrum now, it's very comforting, you know, like it really takes you out of the stresses of every day. And like you're saying, like your dad wouldn't have to deal with like a trucker, like missing like this like X amount of product, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you drop in. That's cool. Like, wow. So like, was that very far from where you lived when you and your brother?
Oh,
were
no,
like...
it was just like a 5-minute walk.
Oh, wow.
We are that close to the harbor where we live.
Borsi's love for gaming began at the age of 7, where his parents purchased him and his brother their very first handheld consoles, and a game that most of us had while growing up. So around what age did you begin to play video games? Like what age was that?
Yeah, that was like around 9 or 10. I guess video games started earlier because we had a Super Nintendo back in the day, and but the first thing I really remember playing a lot and like getting, I guess, emotionally invested in was Pokemon. Like Game Boy Color, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow was the games I just put hours and hours into, and I was 7, I believe, at that time.
Yeah, those games were like really, really big. Because I remember playing Pokemon Red and Blue. For me, it was groundbreaking. You know, it was like open world with these characters that I can catch. Like, oh my gosh, like this is awesome. You know,
especially because of the first season of Pokemon, where Ash catches Squirtle, Charmander, it has Pikachu, and everything. You immediately have that connection when you just start up the game and. Just knowing, yeah, you can build your team around that now and just be in that world. That it was really groundbreaking, I agree.
Yeah, and you had this like emotional attachment to each one because it's like you can name them yourself. You know, you can give them special names. And it's just like every time they died, you felt responsible for that Pokemon's death or like they fainted.
At the very first time I played the game, and I still remember that because it was almost like a trauma. I don't know what the forest is called in English, but I just said Charmander, and I love Charmander. I still love it today. It's one of the best Pokemon ever. Don't at me. And I just had that Pokemon. I hadn't caught another Pokemon yet, and so I was heading into the forest and got poisoned.
Oh no!
And not knowing what to do with that poison, I just tried to run back to the Poké Center, of course. And I died on the way there. And I was crying because I thought like it was game over and
no.
Pokemon is dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know you would just respawn. I felt responsible for that one. I really did.
It wouldn't be until the following year, at the age of 8, that his parents decided to purchase Borsti's older brother, their very first computer, and where he would have his first run-in with StarCraft.
So I have a bigger brother, but my brother had a computer, and basically I was just next to him and seeing what what he would be doing. And this was also my first experience with StarCraft. My brother and my neighbor, they were putting their PCs into our basement, just playing against each other. And like my brother, 3 years older than me, and my neighbor is even older than him. They always told me, like, get away, get lost. We don't want you here. You're not needed. And so I was just like cowering behind them and just watching the game. And it was so fascinating to me. And every once in a while, when my brother wasn't at home and I would turn on his PC and just start playing the campaign, basically the first couple of missions again and again, because I didn't really know how to save. Or sometimes when I played against AI, I would just build stuff, but like probably 15 APM. Like even easiest AI would just run into my base with like 3 zealots and I would just die.
So what was it about the game that fascinated you then? Like what was it that was just so like, this is different?
Well, at the time we, as I said earlier, only my brother had a computer and I didn't have one. And like before we had console games and stuff, but nothing was quite like StarCraft, right? You had like the top-down view in like Pokemon and stuff, but you were always, it was you, or like even in Mario, it was you and you're going through this world now. And in StarCraft, like my initial fascination was you control all this, right? You have not only one person you control, but you have a base, you have to like get more money, you have to build units, and then you can send tens of units just across the map and just attack stuff and like do so many things with it. That was the initial fascination because I was too young to have a deeper understanding of the game at that point. I was like 8 years old back then. Like back then it was all Marines. Zerg was something that was beyond me. Like how do I even build units? Like do I have to build hatcheries or when do these lava spawn and how can I build both like workers and army units and these workers don't do damage and like my understanding of the game was so poor. But those are still memories. I still have them in my mind today, like clear memories of just standing behind my brother when he was playing or like playing the first campaign mission. First few campaign missions of StarCraft, and that memory always kept me like attached to the game. Even though later on, like when I really started getting into RTS was Warcraft 3, but like StarCraft was still in my mind. Like, oh, I wish they would do another one or a new one or a new version of that game.
And that new version of StarCraft wouldn't be announced until 10 years later, in 2010. At the age of 18, where the announcement of StarCraft II would be made, and it would immediately catch Borsti's attention.
And when it finally came around, like the excitement was so big for it, like I just couldn't wait. When I was told that StarCraft II is gonna be coming, essentially, there was just like, oh, wow, when? How? What? When? How can I get my hands on this? How long do I have to wait? What does it look like? And just really excitement. I didn't get into the beta, and then I managed to get my hands on a safety copy of a beta client and just started playing there and just started playing against CII and built mass roaches.
With a beta copy freshly installed into his PC and being able to experience StarCraft II before its release, the magic of playing the next generation RTS of our time would wear off, which doesn't sound right. Well, it turned out that even though you can get early access to the game at this time, all you could do in the beta was play against the AI, which was not very rewarding as opposed to playing an actual person online. So once the official launch day of StarCraft II Wings of Liberty arrived, he would soon stay up countless nights playing the game and eventually beating the campaign altogether. Soon, Borsti would go on to the next step, playing against real people online and climbing the ladder. But things didn't go quite as expected.
When you're used to playing campaign, you then start to play against a real person, you're going to have losses, lots of losses. And so basically at that point, it actually didn't touch StarCraft for like 4 months or 5 months. It was then during Gamescom in Germany when I realized or saw that there was a tournament of StarCraft. Then someone told me about the Koreans in StarCraft and StarCraft 2. And that's when also people told me, yeah, there's two Germans playing, but they don't really have a chance. I remember watching Soke versus MMA, and MMA just slaughtered him. I watched that live and was like just fascinated because I could see what MMA was doing and knew how I was doing it in the campaign, right? And so when I got home, that's when I started looking up like the German scene and found a few German commentators who were casting like Go for StarCraft 2 weekly cups and stuff, and like got into StarCraft there. And then eventually it kind of broke into a much wider space because I realized how many people in English are actually playing this game and streaming this game and doing videos on this game, be it on YouTube with Husky and Day9 and Justin TV or Twitch then. And that's when I really got like into it.
After attending IEM, or better known as the Intel Extreme Masters in 2012, Borsti would get over his fear of playing against someone online. And he began to take a different approach to the game. Rather than just jumping into a game and trying to figure out what your opponent's going to do on the fly, Borsti would begin again by researching his build orders and paying close attention to his replays. But then, at around this time, Borsti would begin to experience health issues. Health issues that affected his life so much that, in his own words, he would probably not be here if the community did not exist. More of that after the break. Hi, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast so far and would like to keep up with the StarCraft Observer, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter, where not only will you get updates about the latest episodes, but you also get to see some beautiful StarCraft-related fan art. Once again, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Twitter. Hi there, your host Chris here. Are you someone like me who finds themselves lost in the world of StarCraft events? Are you finding it hard to keep up with those events? Or do you need the latest updates on tournament brackets and esports news? Well, I have good news for you. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can now follow StarCraft Esport for all things StarCraft Esports related. It's an account run by passionate community volunteers who make it easy for people like myself and for those wanting to know what's going on in the StarCraft tournament scene. StarCraft Esport delivers you the latest results, tournament brackets, and announcements. StarCraft Esport has really made my life much easier to keep up with the tournament scene, and I highly recommend giving them a follow. You can find them on Facebook when you search for StarCraft Esport, that's StarCraft Esport one word, and you can find them on Twitter with the username at StarCraft Esport. Once again, that's StarCraft Esport, spelled one word. Welcome back. We left off with Borsti finally picking the game back up again after attending IEM back in 2012, and upon getting back into the groove of things, Borsti's life would become a lot more difficult.
But around that time, I really had health issues. Like, I had problems with my liver, I had problems with digestion, the energy level was super low, and coming with that were also a bunch of mental health problems. And like getting out of that hole and like actually getting back to a place where I could work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day and actually like be part of the society or community we live in, that took years actually.
So you're mentioning that you were having like liver issues and other health issues as well. Like, at what age were you experiencing or starting to experience these?
Imagine you have a problem with your health, but you have the problem from when you grow up or like from the start of your birth. You wouldn't know that it's wrong, that it's that way. So it turned out a lot of my symptoms were stress related, but I never I didn't identify it as stress, because for me that was just what life was like a general tension in the body and stuff. Like, I didn't see it that way because I didn't know it any other way, and I didn't really have a proper mechanism to deal with stress or turn the stress into something that can be useful. Like you can be like turn it into motivation. Like you can do this, but it was more like I was just keeping it inside and not really dealing with it at all. And so my whole body was just tensing up, if that makes sense.
So is it just stress causing all these liver issues and health issues, or like what was it?
Well, it was stress on one hand, but also like something chronical with my digestion. It was like very, very sensitive to any kind of bad stuff for your body, I guess. Not just alcohol, but also like different kinds of fats or eating too many carbs. It would also respond to that kind of stuff. At that point, either way, the mental health problems were a bigger issue. For a long time, I didn't know what would cause the physical symptoms. And just the not knowing would just destroy me. I started asking myself, like, is this some form of punishment? Or like, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Because I went to a bunch of doctors who just didn't know what could cause it.
As it turned out, with not knowing what was triggering his symptoms, other than stress and certain foods, it really sounds like Borsti was feeling like he was being punished for just living. And things got worse. The pain was getting worse. His energy levels and his mental health was declining. He doesn't know the exact translation for his medical condition, other than we know it's a digestive problem. He mentions to me that he would spend a lot of time going in and out of the hospital with doctors trying to figure out what exactly was going on and what's the root cause. As a way to cope with all this, Borsti would spend way more time on his computer, and he began getting in touch with the people of the StarCath community.
And especially during those times, I got in touch with a lot of people in the community, because if you can't really move or have a lot of pain, there's not really much you can do except for maybe spend your time at the PC. I got in touch with a lot of people, got involved with a lot of people, and got the first connections to the actual scene. At the end of 2010, or like start of 2011, was when I actually like got on Twitter. I basically found people through in-game chat and Twitch, of course, or back then it was still Justin TV. Even when I was at my worst, I still had found people who would like support me or like just be friendly or help me or just be there. Even when my real life friends didn't have time because they were working or they were living abroad for half a year or like something like that, I would always find someone in the StarCraft community to actually be there and just talk to you and basically keep me sane. And I got so much out of the community during that time that like I'm basically forever grateful. Like, especially with mental health issues, being anonymous on the internet helps because you can just talk to a stranger you feel like you have a relation to. And just having someone to talk to can be so valuable. And like, especially now looking back, I'm really thankful for some of the friends I've made online, because I actually can't say if I would be here without them. Even though, like, looking back, that was the worst time of my life. I never felt alone, especially because I found so many good people through StarCraft 2. Like even a friend of mine, like it was something so silly, but when I was in hospital, she sent me a pair of socks from the US, just a get well soon card and a pair of pizza socks. I still have them today. They're like, this was 6 years ago. But it was like, just knowing you're not alone and there's people who care about you can be so important in that time.
Yeah, and especially like, you're making all these friends, and for them to send you something like that, it goes a long way. It does go a long way. Like, I don't know how to explain
physically it. As well. From the US to Germany, it's quite a long way.
For sure. Are those your favorite pair of socks now, those pizza socks?
I wear them very rarely because I like there's such an emotional attachment to them that I don't want to ruin them by wearing them too often. But basically, yeah, it's still my favorite. Yes,
keep them locked away in a safe place where they're not worn very often, only on special occasions.
It's also kind of silly, but like I have a drawer full of socks or a pair of socks, and the that pair is right on the right side. So basically, I see it every morning. It's just a nice reminder to start off the day.
Doctors would eventually find a way to treat Borsi's condition, and the news would be a big relief for him because this now meant he could have a normal social life, to be able to move around a lot more, and most importantly, find a solid and stable job. You see, with Borsi constantly being in and out of the hospital, he was unemployed for a very long time, 2 years to be exact. So how do you reintegrate exactly? Germany has this type of unemployment program that allows people to, one, maintain their living as long as they're trying to find a job, two, help you find jobs, and three, check to see if you have the right mental fit. And speaking with Borsi, the way it works, you get enrolled into a six-week program in which they test your physical, mental, and problem-solving abilities to determine what job you would be best fit for. An assessment that would place you into a certain category with jobs to pick from. Borsi already had a general idea of what category he was best suited for. He knew that he was good with computers, numbers, and had really good problem-solving skills, which to him sounded like he would be somewhere in IT or software development. The problem with this program? Say you have past experience in software development, and you have worked on a project that required your development expertise. You can show proof of that, but because you haven't gone through this assessment, that doesn't mean you're necessarily mentally capable of handling the job. So in order to get that proof, you had to go through the 6-week-long process.
That period of time basically just reaffirmed me in what I was already thinking of, which is that I'm good with computers, I'm good with numbers, and like problem solving in general is something I'm good at, and basically got the okay from them to pursue this career.
So for 2 years, you're dealing with health issues, and then you had to like find a way to reintegrate. So you go into this program, they assess you and see what like area you're best fit. You take this test and you get that reassurance or that affirmation that, okay, yeah, this is something that I knew I was meant for, and the results show it. Like, how did you feel in that moment? Like when they said like, oh yeah, you can go into this career like that you're interested in for sure.
I mean, the first thought was, I told you.
With his confidence reassured and Borsi's career choice reaffirmed, and with the help of this program, he set out to seek an apprenticeship in software development.
Like, it took a little bit of time to find a place that would have me, I guess. Coming out of a long time where you basically did nothing, it takes a little bit of like extra for them to take the risk and employ you. Then eventually I found a place in Dortmund, which is quite a while away from where I live, and basically moved out and just pursued that career and just started an apprenticeship, learning about web development, learning about backend development, learning PHP, learning how to use Java and different programming languages efficiently. And yeah, finished the apprenticeship about 2 years later.
So what was it like working for that company for the first time? Like, were you anxious? Were you nervous? Were you excited? You know, because this is your first time back into like, you know, just in the working field. Like, how was that for you?
At first, like when I first got to meet the people I was going to be working with, nervous doesn't even cut it. I was just from top to bottom, just pure stress and just tensing up the whole body and just like, oh God, please, 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 oh God, please, let this be nice people, let me fit in here, let just, please. And it went better than I could have imagined. Like on the first day I got there, the lady from the front desk showed me around and like gave me like instructions where to go in case of emergency and like when a fire happens, what are the ways out and stuff. And then we got to where I was going to be placed in the office. And she opened the drawer and pulled out a Nerf gun. You know Nerf guns?
Yep.
And she handed it to me and said, sometimes we are at war and you will need this for self-defense. And it was that moment that I knew I was gonna be good here. And I felt at home. Like, it's almost too wholesome. But the bunch of people I was working with, they were just as big of nerds as I was, just in different areas.
That's so cool. And like, as soon as she brought out that gun, did you build your own arsenal soon after? Were you like buying Nerf guns as well?
No, I didn't. But because I spent my money elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I found out that my boss and front desk lady, they were having D&D sessions every weekend. And so I got some new dice and basically met every other weekend with my boss and workmates, and we were playing role-playing games.
This shortly became a place that Borsti would very much enjoy working at. Even though at times it was quite difficult, Borsti looked forward to working there every day. And he says that it was a great atmosphere to work in as well. Within those 2 years, he learned so much, and in earning that knowledge through hard work, he managed to get certified as an IT specialist for software development. Congrats, Borsti. But as with all good things, it had to come to an end. He was eventually offered a position to work there, but kindly declined because he realized that even though he could be working at a place he enjoyed, made lots of friends, and had D&D sessions with his boss and front desk lady, it would not be enough to cover the cost of living in Dortmund, Germany. So naturally, he moved back home, where he currently resides until this day, and still manages to be everywhere. And for someone who manages to keep the community updated on events, news, team rosters, patch updates, and all things StarCraft, I just had to ask, what is it that you love so much about this community?
I think that it takes a certain kind of person to actually endure StarCraft. Because if you're playing ladder, right, it's draining, it's stressful, it's challenging, and you can really beat yourself up when you play the game. But the people that actually have the mindset to stay with StarCraft, like, that's one thing we all share, and it feels like we all can appreciate what the pro players, for example, do. Because when you talk to a mobile player or someone who watches a lot of Dota or League or something, when they would watch StarCraft, they wouldn't understand why this particular move the player did right now or a particular bit of micro was so difficult or was so hard to execute. And in StarCraft, it's a shared fascination of what people can actually do with the tools Blizzard has given us in the game. Just marine splitting, for example, is something... It's just madness if you ever tried it yourself. And there's aspects of that for every race, or like examples for that with every race. And the affinity to RTS games in general, be it StarCraft or Boot War or Warcraft 3, is something a lot of people share. And I just love RTS games. It's something you can quickly bond over and just have conversations over. Like, you don't need some small talk, how's the weather, how are you doing, but you can just... Like, hey, have you seen this? Hey, have you seen that? And you can just talk on and on and on and on for hours, really, about the current state of the game, like how much the meta has shifted, even though there wasn't a patch, or the other way around, how much a single patch, even if it was just like the change of the EMP radius or something, like how much that would affect or would not affect the meta. And you can, there's always something going on, no matter where you look in StarCraft.
Where do you see the community in probably like 2 or 3 years from now?
Even though it's difficult, I would really wish that we would need to grow a little bit, just a little bit. Just so, like right now we have a bunch of people who are like right on the edge of, can I make a living off this or can I not? Like right now we have a base of players and viewers. And a lot of viewers don't even play the game. We shouldn't forget that. We have a good base that can sustain this system with the war chest, with streams, with co-op commanders and voice packs. And we have enough to sustain it. And I would love it for it to just keep growing that way, or like to keep being that way, that we can sustain ourselves, that we like, we don't need to have the biggest stages or the biggest tournaments, but we can always be us and just stay up to date, have tournaments going on, have players being allowed to travel the world because they're just so damn good at this game. and just have these experiences, be it online and offline. Because what we haven't barely touched on is how amazing it is to meet people online versus meeting them offline. Because be it WCS Europe back in the day, or Home Story Cup, or even Nation Wars, which were all events I was able to attend, it's just been amazing. And it's been one of the best holidays I've spent all my life. Just maintaining these tournament circuit and having players playing the game at the best of their capabilities like they are right now, that's all I could really wish for.
Say somebody wanted to step in your shoes, right? And they wanted to do what you're doing, you know, like keeping everybody up to date and, you know, keeping up with all these results. Like, what advice, like, would you have for that individual that wants to basically take on the task that you're doing? Like, what kind of advice would you have to offer?
If you want to do it, just do it. And if you don't feel like it, then don't force yourself to it. Because as soon as you force yourself, you lose all fun you had with StarCraft. It's okay to take the responsibility and feel like you want to share something. But as soon as you feel like you have to share it, or people expect you to share it, or be there for it, then it doesn't stay fun anymore. It just becomes a task you have to do and force yourself to do, even though it's not fun anymore. Don't ever feel like you have to do it. Do it because you want to do it.
Borsti still resides with his family back in Germany. He hopes that one day he'll be able to have his own place and have a family. Editing, music, and production was done by your host, Christopher Lopez. Once again, you can follow the StarCraft Observer on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, or on Facebook. Outro music by the talented Tell of Angel. Head on over to their Bandcamp or YouTube. You can also find Tell of Angel on Spotify. More details about Tell of Angel in the podcast show notes. Until next time, friends, thank you very much.